Welcome back. I'm Ian Master. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now in the studio are Jim Burrows and Suzanne Bauman, the filmmakers of Shadows of Afghanistan, 1959 to 2012. Jim Burrows is a producer, director, and cameraman who has filmed on six continents, documenting wars, expeditions, profiling artists, and political leaders. His companion book to Shadow of Afghanistan, Blood on the Lens, will soon be out in a new updated edition. And Suzanne Bauman is a producer, director of more than 80 documentary films and series. She produced and directed Jackie Behind the Myth, a two-hour special on Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis for PBS, and is now producing and directing The Writing Code, a series about the history of writing from ancient times to the internet. They both were nominated for an Academy Award for Cuban Odyssey and received an Oscar of Special Merit for La Belle Epoque. Separately and together, they have produced films and television programs for PBS, ABC, A&E, and Channel 4 UK. Together, they produced Water Wars, When Droughts Flood, and Greed Collide. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jim Burrows and Suzanne Bauman.
Hey, thank you.
And the documentary, of course, is a very necessary and needed history of a country that the history, of course, precedes our history. And we've had the two periods in the 80s, where we were fighting the Soviets through the Afghans, and then since 2001, where we have been at war or nation building, and this will be the longest war in the U.S. history. But let's go back to just, Suzanne, to the beginning of the film, which it's almost it's almost a different century, but it's not. It's just, you know, from 59 up until the Soviet war, this was a functioning country.
It was a functioning country, and we begin with 1959 because it's the first time that an American president ever visited Afghanistan, and that was Dwight Eisenhower. And we found the footage of his visit, and given the fact of the Taliban atrocities of stopping all kinds of entertainment or ability to dance, I mean, there's this fabulous sequence of where he's there watching Sufi dancers twirling and people just joyous in the look of this. This was not made up, you know. Right. Well, and even though it was a rough time in history, the Cold War going on, everything else. I mean, this was a different country altogether from.
Well, but there wasn't, in a way, the king was in the catbird seat because he could play the Americans off against the Russians. He was being wooed by both.
He was, and he insisted on being neutral.
Well, there was a certain point where there was no choice of neutrality when Daoud was murdered. Daoud was his nephew, I guess, and he took over the presidency from Zaire Shah and tried to work more with the Soviets. Then he found that the people were really not liking this one damn bit, and that got him in big trouble. And as people say, a lot of experts, when things happen in Afghanistan, they happen fast. When Aminullah was back in the early part of the century was bringing a lot of Western advances to Afghanistan, well, they liked this at first, but it was too fast. And all of a sudden, one day, it just caught fire all across the country, and Aminullah was out of a job. So things do happen fast, and I think that's one of the things that we have a tendency to look at them as, well, they're just there, and they're trying to learn how to fight, trying to make a living. If these people had gotten some of the money that was promised them, so they could rebuild their electricity, clean water, there's no clean water. And no hot water. The roads are a little better, but if you don't know that road and you're driving at night, you're in trouble.
Again, I'm joined in the studio by Jim Burrows and Suzanne Bauman, the filmmakers of Shadow of Afghanistan. And you talked about your friend Lee Shapiro, who was trying to film Massoud. What will the situation be like in 2014 when the U.S. pulls out? If the lines are drawn again, you say that the country's fabric has been torn, that there's no national identity left. Will we have another Massoud? He'll be the surrogate for who? The United States, Iran, and Russia, right?
Russia would be back in the game, of
course. But on the side of the Northern Alliance.
Well, there may not be – the Northern Alliance may not be
as strong
in this coming
period. So what would be the configuration of a new civil war? You'll have the Pashtuns and the Taliban on one side, right?
Well, the Pashtuns, the bulk of the Taliban are Pashtuns. And there is something very – in 1893, there was the British drew a boundary across the mountains of the Hindu Kush, which was supposed to separate British India from Afghanistan. So they simply divide and conquer. This is their way of doing it. And what they did was separate families and tribal peoples right along that line. And to this day, you have the Pashtuns who are split. Some of them are in Afghanistan. Some of them are in Pakistan. But the bulk of them are in the south. Well, if Rashid is right and the fabric has been torn irreparably, you're not going to find the Tajiks and the Shias and the Pashtuns getting back together. And I guess that's my greatest fear, is that they won't be able to get back together. And I think that Pakistan, they have always wanted to make sure that nobody knew that before 1947, the borders of Afghanistan included the cities of Quetta, the borders of, in other words, Afghanistan maintained Peshawar, it maintained Quetta, they even claimed Rawalpindi. So in a sense, what's happened is that Pakistan wants to keep a kind of a confusion going here, because they could lose a tremendous amount of their territory if it ever went to a world court. So I think Pakistan is a huge key in this whole thing. It would be a civil war, and then Pakistan would come in to participate. That will be the way it is.
In a way to keep Afghanistan as weak as possible.
Yeah.
So I think it's not just Pashtuns. You know, all Pashtuns are not
Taliban
by any means. That's a misconception in this country.
Right, but my understanding is that Afghans don't particularly like Pakistanis, and yet they're being dominated and manipulated by them. Is that true?
Yes, and they haven't. They never realized this until maybe the last 10 years. Now the hatred is enormous in Afghanistan among, let's say, Tajiks and the Pashtuns who are working with the government and not with the Taliban.
Yeah, complete distrust.
Here's an interesting thing. I'll never forget it. It was, I guess, November 27, 28. Most of the reporters were staying at this hotel, Spingar, in Jalalabad, out of safety in one part, and another part because they didn't know, there was very little knowledge of the country they were dealing with. So we went out with a facilitator who was really good and a few armed men. And everywhere we went, people were smiling, happy, even places where there had been accidents and some of the bombs had killed people in the village. They were just full of smiles, love, thank you, getting us out of this terrible mess.
This is to the Americans coming in after
9/11. In 2001.
Yeah.
And no one knows that now, or if they did, they've forgotten it, because the enthusiasm of those people when we first arrived was enormous.
Yeah, genuine.
And they thought we were going to bring them a democracy like we had. And
maybe not like we had, but certainly an end to the war and the persecution by these extreme Taliban measures.
Right. And the economic deprivation too, right?
Absolutely.
Because I remember Mike Hoover telling me that the Afghans people were saying they felt that the Americans had liberated them.
Yes.
And they thought, well, you know, if the Americans can put a man on the moon, they can sure as hell fix our downtrodden country.
Right. Get our wells clean and
then,
again.
And then what happened?
Well, we were taken
the
into
money
a
all
war
went into
that
the
was not necessary.
Yeah.
An unnecessary war.
Right.
Get rid of that.
Yeah. So just in closing then, tell us, starting with you, Suzanne, tell us why you made the film and why our audience need to get a copy of your film.
The beginning of really wanting to finish this film was way back in the 80s, seeing this incredible footage of these beautiful people in refugee camps with still maintaining their dignity, struggling to survive, trying to keep their children alive. And many of them had come from, just running away from war. So, I mean, I hadn't ever seen such moving footage. So it was just little children wounded in the snow and families struggling to get their babies and their goats on a truck just to survive. Like, what will they do to survive? And the incredible tenacity, survival instinct of these people. I was so moved by it, I just was practically in tears watching it. So that's a long time ago. Then comes the long march of, well, how do we get the completion money for this? No one in this, you go apply for grants or go to PBS and your standard routes. No one even knew how to spell Afghanistan in 1987. And much less, it's like, who cares? They just couldn't get it. And so we just kept going back and finding ways to either try to get British television to air it or American. And the phone started ringing off the wall after 9/11. Everybody who had ever known what we were doing then said, you've got to finish this film. And of course we did. We had to finish the film. And and also we said, God, we knew that this was going to come around. And Massoud, in one of his last speeches in France, he said as a warning, if you don't listen to what's happening in Afghanistan, it's going to come back to haunt you.
Right.
And that became like a key. And then we knew, we opened the paper. It's like, oh, my God, they just assassinated Massoud. And the next thing you know,
9/11
happened.
It was all so perfectly timed.
We always knew that those were connected events. Had to finish the story because it affects
right.
us.
But the story takes us up to the present.
Yes, it does.
And that's the point. And so just in closing, Jim Burrows, tell our audience why they should get this film and why they need to see this film.
Well, I think that, it's a corny statement, and Americans, I guess, don't like to hear it all that much. But if you don't know the history, if you don't know how the bad guys got in power in the first place, and if you don't know where they got their money and who paid them and who supported who,
armed them,
how can you possibly understand what's going on now? Is this going to be a powder keg that is the thing that the straw that breaks the camel's back? I don't think so.
This current
situation here,
Quran.
Any more than the Marines peeing on corpses. But it's heading in the wrong direction because there's a split between those people that smiled so happily at me and any military I was with in 2001, 2002. They're not smiling now.
Well, I thank you both for joining us here today in the studio, Jim Burrows and Suzanne Bauman, the filmmakers of Shadow of Afghanistan, 1959 to 2012.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Jim Burrows, who's a producer, director, and cameraman who's filmed on six continents, documenting wars, expeditions, profiling artists, and political leaders. His companion book, Two Shadows of Afghanistan, is Blood on the Lens. It'll be out soon in a new updated edition. And Suzanne Bauman is producer, director of more than 80 documentaries and series. She produced and directed Jackie Behind the Myth, a two-hour special on Jacqueline Kennedy and Onassis for PBS, and is now producing and directing The Writing Code, a series about the history of writing from ancient times to the internet. They were both nominated for an Academy Award for Cuban Odyssey and received an Oscar of Special Merit for the La Belle Époque. Separately and together, they produce films and television programs for PBS, ABC, A&E, and Channel 4 UK. And together they produced Water Wars, When Drought, Flood, and Greed Collide. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about intervening in Syria.